Back on the Big Wake Up Call, I'm Ryan Gatenby, and time to get to my next guest, a best-selling author, illustrator of many children's books. Now, people are calling this a children's book, but I believe I learned just as much as any kid ever will. The book is called So Embarrassing, Awkward Moments and How to Get Through Them, and we're going to visit with Charisse Miracle Harper, and good morning. Thank you for calling in today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Before we get into it, and I've got specific questions throughout the book, can you give our listeners a brief overview what the book is about?
Yes, it was designed with middle graders because that's an age where there's a lot of embarrassment going on, and it is a graphic novel, meaning it is done with illustrations and pictures in a comic book form, and it covers a wide variety of topics, embarrassing topics, ranging from falling in public, getting someone's name wrong, body functions, food in your teeth, falling off a chair, breaking something, things on your clothes, and a myriad of other things, and deals with them in a hopefully humorous way and offers some practical tips on some of these things, too.
Like my older boys are, I can't believe I'm saying boys, they're men, 21 and 18 right now, but I remember their junior high years. I remember my junior high middle school years, and I think you just about got everything nailed in here, just updated for the new generation because there's technology involved.
Yeah, I do briefly cover social media a little bit with some research that I did, but I'm not an expert in technology, and I feel like this generation's definitely got it. A lot of stuff going on that I'm not good at.
Now they say to write what you know. Are you an expert in being embarrassed?
I don't know if I'm an expert, but I'm someone who has a large collection of embarrassment stories. Yes, I have it. I think I'm sort of a daydreamer, so I guess I'm not paying attention to the world around me, so things have happened to me that are definitely embarrassing.
There's a section in the book here. I'm looking at page 56 and 57. If you're following along at home, if you have the book, but you play a game called Guess What Happened, and you set up kids in awkward situations and guess what happened. And one of the ones I love is someone loudly and confidently singing the wrong lyric to a song. I do that all the time.
Yeah, that's a great one. I think a lot of people do that, and it's always very funny. I always sometimes enjoy the lyrics that people make up more than the real lyrics of the song.
Well, for sure, and I know, you know, Michael Stipe of REM certainly did a lot of mumbling, and people I know would approach him what they thought the lyrics meant, and oftentimes he would say, "Oh, well I think that's better."
That's right, and it also is a glimpse into the creative soul of whoever's singing, right? So that's a good thing.
But to turn that around as an adult, I've been able to use that to my advantage because I find singing loud, just subtly getting the lyric wrong, even though you know it's right, drives people nuts. Like I will always sing "You Are the Wind Behind My Wings," and ooh, people get irritated.
Yeah, I guess they're partial to the regular version as opposed to the improvised version. But
right.
It's a good talking point, though, right? Gets people talking.
Early in the book, and you set it up. This is probably one of the most common things. Is the rules for falling in public? I think we've all experienced that, even as adults, but certainly as a kid. Like, oh my gosh, you think. As a kid, everybody is looking at everything you do. And I think that's part of the fear. I think that what's make a lot of the nervousness. I think that's what makes middle school just a wreck is you think everyone's looking at you, even though they're probably not.
Yeah, actually there's research to prove that is exactly correct. That people spend, you think everyone's looking at you, but that's what everybody's thinking. And so everybody is thinking that everybody is looking at them, but they're really spending a lot of time worrying about that everybody's looking at them, if that makes any sense. So they're not looking at you as much as, no one's thinking about you as much as you're thinking about you, for sure. That's the truth.
Now, was this written pre-pandemic, during the pandemic? Did you have a lot of time to think about creating and thinking about looking back on embarrassing stories?
Yeah, I did. This started like just over a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. So I did start before the pandemic and was working through the beginning of the pandemic. And at the time, I didn't know we were going to have the situation we have now. So I spent a lot of time in November, December, and January working on my book, thinking, boy, I can't wait for February, March, and April. I'm really going to have some fun and go out and do stuff. So no, I think I've been sequestered even longer than most people.
Of course, you have a section in the book on bodily functions, and it's interesting. At a point, like, my daughter is 5 years old. She finds it hilarious. Her friends think it's hilarious. They have a contest. But then you cross a certain line where, as a kid, it's hilarious, and then you hit a certain age where, oh, my gosh, you die of embarrassment. And then as an adult, it's hilarious again.
Yeah. I have a 16-year-old son. I don't think he ever got the he's pretty much thinking it's hilarious all the way through so far. So I don't know if he's ever going to hit that, oh, this is embarrassing. But no, he's pretty much excited about the whole concept still. So it can last for some, I guess.
Do you feel like it's much easier to reach kids, to appeal to kids in like a comic book graphic novel format? Because certainly, you know, young adult books are very popular. But I know for me, I would see as an adult, I'd see that like, oh, I'm not interested in that. But still, anything that's an illustration, that's a cartoon, I'm probably going to pick up and look at regardless.
Yeah, and I think it's true. And I think what spurs somebody, you know, who picks up a book like this is like, oh, instantly they've got a picture of something that's happening in multiple panels. And they're like, well, why is that character laughing over there? What just happened over here? So they're just going to read it, and they're just going to keep going. I think it's the kind of medium that just makes you keep reading, and you don't realize you're reading. So that's always fun. And it's a great way to give, you know, factual information in a fun format, too, which I really like.
Have you always been an illustrator? Is that how you started? Were you an illustrator and a writer simultaneously?
I started out as a... Actually, I started out in Chicago. Both my kids were born in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
And I lived in Chicago for many years in the Wicker Park area. And I started out as a illustrator for newspapers and magazines. And then I had a weekly comic strip in a paper called New City that was way, way back
The
day. Was a alternative. Yeah, I had
right.
A weekly comic strip in that paper for many, many years. I had hundreds and hundreds of them that I did. And I think that was a great training ground for me to learn how to tell stories with words and pictures. And so once I realized that, hey, I could have a whole book with my words and pictures in, then I was hooked that this is the job that I want to do. So I feel pretty lucky that I found myself here. But yeah, it's my favorite way to tell a story. I've written books that are, you know, just prose, like chapter books. But my favorite way to tell a story is to put words and pictures together.
I did not know there was the Chicago connection. Yeah, New City. It was always right next to the Reader when you go to. Remember the record store? It'd be there at the record store.
Yeah, I know. That is, the whole Wicker Park area and the record stores, and I miss all that. It's changed now, but yeah, that was a great way to sort of, you know, I started there, so I have a sweet spot in my heart for Chicago.
Highly recommended for middle school kids. I'd say for adults as well. So embarrassing, awkward moments and how to get through them. The author is my guest, Charisse Miracle Harper. And thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting me. It's been fun to visit Chicago, even though I couldn't really be there.
Thank you.